We're talking today about prostate cancer, and we've already gone through some of the symptoms that you, if you're listening out there, or your partner may have. And if you do, go to the doctors, and obviously, you know, go and see, get yourself checked out. I was saying about prostate cancer when it was probably going back about 10 or 15 years ago, if you had prostate cancer, because some cancers people get and they sort of go, oh, you know, that's a bad one to have. There has been a lot of funding into research. It has changed, hasn't it, for prostate cancer. It's people do survive prostate cancer. You're saying the survival rate now is some sort of 80% of people are still alive 10 years on.
That's true. The amount of funding going into prostate cancer initially 10 years ago was really very, very poor compared with, say, breast cancer, because the numbers of men with prostate cancer is quite similar to the numbers of women with breast cancer. But the amount of funding was very small in comparison. I think what has been happening over the last 25 years, for instance, is that whereas initially probably 80% of men presented to us with advanced cancer that we couldn't cure, that proportion has now dropped very considerably. So only about 40% of men present with advanced cancer, and we can keep these men going, if you like, using combinations of radiotherapy and hormone treatment and chemotherapy. Hence the survival figures have improved dramatically. But what we're not really touching at the moment is that underlying figure of about 11,000 deaths a year. And these are men who really need to be caught at a much earlier stage before the cancer's spread. Death from prostate cancer is not nice. It spreads to the bones. It causes fractures in the bones. Apart from just general debility and ill health and loss of appetite, it can be very painful and unpleasant. If we get it early, then we have the full range of treatments available, particularly radiotherapy and surgery. Surgery was relatively late coming into common usage in the UK, but now we do a lot of so-called radical prostatectomies, where the whole of the prostate is removed and then the pipe into the penis is joined back onto the bladder again. But it does carry complications. The main complications are about 5% of men have quite bad incontinence after it, and the majority of men, at least 60%, will suffer from impotence. So if you're a man in your 50s and 60s, that may not be a great prospect.
With the countries, though, I mean, in the UK, are we sort of ahead of the game, or is it America, or is it better over in Australia? Are they far, you know, their treatments are better than ours? What country would you say is sort of, you know, cracking down on the numbers?
In terms of sort of cancer stats and survival and mortality, then we are lagging behind. In terms of treatment, I don't think there's a problem there, in that the treatment is available, providing that men present. And this comes back to this debate on screening. And the reason that screening has not been supported by the Department of Health, and indeed many of the medical organisations and urological organisations, is so-called overdiagnosis and overtreatment. A lot of these cancers are small, non-aggressive, and we nickname them pussycats because they won't cause you any damage. We need to get hold of the tigers. But in looking for the tigers, we may find lots of men who've got small cancers that are not dangerous. If those men are then pushed into unnecessary radical surgery or radiotherapy, then they may wind up with these complications that I've mentioned, all for nothing, because basically they've got a cancer that would never kill them, and they'll die of something else, of natural causes, as it were, in due course. But we need tests that will separate out the dangerous cancers, the tigers, from the pussycats. But we're moving towards that.
Yeah. And do you think, is it going to be a cancer that possibly could be sort of eradicated in the next 30 years? Is there, you know, I'm always intrigued actually by cancer, because I never quite understand when you've got a maybe prostate cancer and then you end up with liver cancer. Are they two different cancers, or does that cancer spread, or is it or you have to treat the prostate cancer as one way and then you treat liver cancer as liver cancer? I'm never too sure of how that works.
Yeah, they're almost always entirely different cancers.
Yeah.
Any major cancer has got the potential to spread around the body.
Mm.
Prostate cancer typically spreads to bones, doesn't often spread to the liver.
Yeah.
So most of them are entirely different, separate animals, as it were, and they require different treatments.
So that is because it kind of mutates as it goes through the body, and then if it attaches itself to the liver, it then becomes liver cancer.
No, it always becomes identifiable as a prostate cancer.
Right.
But we call these secondary cancers, yep, as opposed to the primary. The primary is the prostate.
Yeah.
It then gets out and spreads elsewhere.
Yeah.
But if you take a bit of that cancer from elsewhere, be it the liver, the lung, the bones, you look at it down the microscope and you would say, oh, that's prostate cancer, and it's obviously come from the prostate.
Right. Okay, thank you for clearing that up. You were going to move on to some new developments as well.
Yeah, there have been lots of new developments coming in with treatment, but there are new developments as well with coming in sort of on the screening agenda, really. PSA, prostate-specific antigen, has been the main test that we've been using since the early 1990s. And it has these problems. So a lot of men with raised PSAs get biopsies done where needles are put into the prostate to take samples, which is pretty unpleasant procedure, and can lead to this so-called overdiagnosis of insignificant cancers that then lead on to overtreatment.
Mm.
What we've got to try and do is have a simple test that is inexpensive and can be used with greater accuracy than PSA.
Yeah.
There's been some very interesting work that's had quite a bit of publicity recently on medical detection dogs. Now, they're sniffing something in the urine.
Yeah.
And it's been found that they are over 90% accurate in identifying urine from men with prostate cancer compared with men who don't have it.
Yeah.
And in fact, at our event in Ipswich, we've got one of the medical detection dogs coming along. They won't actually be sniffing the men to see if they've got prostate cancer.
Yep.
But the samples that we take, the urine samples we take, will go back to the laboratory and then will be used in the training of these dogs.
Mm.
There's obviously something in the urine that the dogs can sniff.
Yeah.
And this may, for instance, be something called urinary engrailed protein. This is a chemical that is produced by prostate cancer cells, and more of it is produced the bigger the cancer.
Mm.
And this is a new development, and it is hoped that this test will come in, for instance, costing about £10, I think.
Yep.
And it's a test done on a sample of urine, so you don't even have to stick a needle into someone. We have other tests. There's one called HK2. That's a good second-line test for working out whether a man has got an aggressive cancer or not, but that costs about £200. So you can't use that as a front-line screening test.
No.
We're also changing the pattern of investigations. Typically, a man with a raised PSA would be sent straight along to have prostate biopsies done, which, as I explained, is not a very nice procedure and can lead to complications. There have even been deaths from septicemia after prostate biopsies. Now there's a move towards doing MRI scans on the prostate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see something on the MRI scan, not only can you see something, but you know where it is, and you can then target it for much, much more accurate biopsies.
Yeah. So how much are the MRI scans, by the way? Because are they quite expensive to have done?
Yes, I couldn't tell you the exact price of what it would cost privately.
I think they're about £800 or £1,000.
I think it is in that region. Yeah. In the NHS, which obviously applies to most men, then it's a few hundred pounds.
Yeah. Hopefully they might be able to bring... I never work out with those machines, by the way, Chris, why they're so noisy. I've been in them a couple of times. Yes. I said, you would think a machine that costs millions of pounds, you could make it just slightly less frightening when you get in there, because they are very clanky, aren't they?
Lots of clicks and bangs, yeah.
But again, if you can go and have that rather than having any sort of needles invasive, that's fantastic.
Yes.
So hopefully things will turn around. We are coming up to the news, but thank you for coming in today. We're going to be covering another subject next month. And also, just you wanted to mention another event.
Yeah, we're in Clacton on the 12th of November. Mm-hmm. We're going to be at the Voluntary Services HQ in Rosemary Road. And we'll be doing aortic aneurysm screening, diabetes screening, skin cancer screening and prostate cancer screening. One of the things that we really need to do with general practitioners is get the information that I've been talking about this morning, get it across to them so that they will recognise who are the men who are at high risk of prostate cancer.
Yeah.
And those are the guys who've got a positive family history of prostate cancer. But also black men, because black men have about a 1 in 4 risk of getting prostate cancer, whereas white guys... Yeah. The risk is only 1 in 8.
Well, I didn't know that. That is not, and you would think that would be common. You think that would be common knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And I think there should. I mean, my view is there should be a screening program introduced ASAP for guys of African and African Caribbean origin.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming in. We will see you in another month's time. It's always a pleasure. Thank you very much to Chris Booth. If you do want to check out Chaps, all the W's, chaps.uk.com. Right, we're just coming up.